Translation Prabhupada by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivinoda Swami Prabhupada. In the Bhagavad Gita, the living entity is established as the marginal potency of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Yet you say the living entity is completely different from the Lord. Srila Prabhupada's purport. The Brahma Sutra states that according to the principle of Shakti, Shakti Mate Abheda, the living entity is simultaneously one with and different from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Qualitatively, the living entity and the Supreme Lord are one. Qualitatively, yeah. But in quantity, they are different. According to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's philosophy, Achinta Beda Beda Tattva, the living entity and Supreme Lord are accepted as one and different at the same time. Om Agyanti Mandasya Gana Gana Salakaya Chaksun Minitam Nena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Bhistam Stapitam Ena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasaya Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Sunyavadi Pastachaisastadine. So, in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna explains. Doesn't anyone know Bhagavad Gita here? Bhagavad Gita is here? Bhagavad Gita? Yeah. He says in Bhumir Aponaya Vadu Kama Buddhya Vacha Ahankara Itimane Bhine Prakriti Asita, that earth, water, fire, air, ether, mind, and intelligence force. You go, these are my separate material energies. And I think in Mama Mamsa Jiva Loke Jiva Bhuta Sanatana Ma Kana Karsh, and I'll get it from the, you know which verse that is? 15:7, right? Yeah. Yeah, so even in that verse Krishna is explaining. Okay. Mama mam so jiva loke jiva bhuta sanatana mam sandandriyani mana sandandriyani prakriti stani karsati. The living entities in this conditional world are my eternal fragmental parts. Due to conditional life, they are struggling very hard with the six senses, including the mind. In Srila Prabhupada's purport. The identity of the living entity is clearly given. The living entity is a fragmental part and parcel of the Supreme Lord, eternally. It is not that he assumes the individuality in the conditions life, and in his liberated state he becomes one with the Supreme Lord. He is eternally fragmented. It is clearly said here, Sanatana. According to the Vedic version, the Supreme Lord manifests and expands himself in innumerable expansions, and of which the primary expansions are called Vishnu Tattva, and the secondary expansions are called living entities. In other words, the Vishnu Tattva is a personal expansion, and living entities are the separate expansions. By his personal expansions, he manifests in various forms like Lord Ram, Narasimhadev, Vishnumurti, all the predominating deities in the Vaikuntha planets. The separate expansions of living entities are eternally servitors. The personal expansions of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the individual identities of Godhead, are always present. Similarly, the separated expansions of living entities have their identities. As fragmental parts and parcels of the Supreme Lord, the living entity also has a fragmental portion of his qualities of which independence is one. Every living entity is an individual soul, has its personal individuality, a minute form of independence. By misuse of that independence, the one becomes conditioned soul. By proper use of that independence, he is always liberated. In either case, he is qualitatively eternal, as the Supreme Lord is. In his liberated state, he is freed from this material condition, and he is under the engagement of transcendental service unto the Lord. In his conscious life, he is dominated by the material modes of nature, and he forgets the transcendental loving service of the Lord. As a result, he has to struggle very hard to maintain his existence in the material world. The living entities, not only human beings and the cats and dogs, but even the greater controls of the material world, Brahma and Lord Shiva and even Vishnu, are all parts and parcels of the Supreme Lord. They are all eternal, not temporary manifestations. The word karsati, struggling or grappling hard, is significant. The conditioned soul is bound up as though shackled by iron chains. He is bound up by the false ego, and the mind is a chief agent which is driving him in this material existence. When the mind is in the mode of goodness, his activities are good. When the mind is in the mode of passion, his activities are troublesome. When the mind is in the mode of ignorance, he travels in lower species of life. It is clear, however, in this verse that the conditioned soul is covered by the material body, which is the mind and senses. And when he is liberated, this material covering perishes. But his spiritual body manifests itself in its individual capacity. The following information is there in the Madhyadina Anya Sutti. Save esa brahma nishta idam sadidam mityam asitya brahma smarnaya brahmana pasyati brahmana soti brahmana evam sarva anubhavati. It is stated here that when a living entity gives up this material embodiment and enters into the spiritual world, he revives his spiritual body. And in his spiritual body, he can see the Supreme Personality of Godhead face to face. He can hear and speak to him face to face. And he can understand the Supreme Personality as he is. From Shruti also it is understood, Vashanti yatra pudushai sarva vaikuntha murtiya. In the spiritual planets, everyone lives in bodies featured like the Supreme Personality of Godhead. As far as the body construction is concerned, there is no difference between the parts and parcel living entities and the expansion of Vishnumurti. In other words, at liberation, the living entity gets a spiritual body by the grace of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The words Mama Vamsa, fragmental parts and parcel of the Supreme Lord, are very significant. The fragmental portion of the Supreme Lord is not like some material broken part. We have already understood that in the second chapter that the spirit soul cannot be cut into pieces. This fragment is not materially conceived. It is not like matter, which can be cut into pieces and joined together again. That conception is not applicable here, because the Sanskrit word sanatana, eternal, is used. The fragmental portion is eternal. It is also stated in the beginning of the second chapter that in each and every individual body, the fragmental portion of the Supreme Lord is present. Dehino smindita deha. That fragmental portion, when liberated from the bodily entanglement, revives his original spiritual body in the spiritual sky, in the spiritual planet, enjoys association with the Supreme Lord. It is, however, understood here that the living entity, being a fragmental part and parcel of the Supreme Lord, is qualitatively one with the Lord, just as the parts and parcel of gold are also gold. So, in the material world, everyone wants to lord it over. And this is why the material world is there. The spiritual world is 3/4 of the creation. Material world is 1/4, which is like the prison house quarters of the Krishna's kingdom. And Srila Prabhupada explains, he gives an example to show how just like the Prime Minister of this country, because he's ruling the country, if he wants, he can live in a prison house. But he lives in a big place somewhere. So in the same way, Krishna doesn't live in the material world. He lives in the spiritual world. But just like the king or the governor, he comes to the prison house to beg the prisoners to reform their character so they can come out of the prison. So in the same way, Krishna comes here to reclaim the fallen souls. He leaves his teachings behind, like Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam. He leaves his devotees behind to guide the masses of people towards him. So, from this we can understand that when we speak of Krishna, Krishna is never alone. Just like a king when he travels, or prime minister when he travels anywhere, he's with his entourage. So Krishna always comes with his associates to display his pastimes to reclaim the fallen souls. Just like there's state laws, so there's also a God's laws. But unfortunately, in a modern-day system, they promote state laws or man-made laws, and they don't advocate God's laws. So this is why there's so much chaos in the world. And this is all due to this Mayavad philosophy. Lord Chaitanya is exposing this Mayavad philosophy to help the living entities come out of this conditional life. So Krishna says in many places in Bhagavad Gita, Natve Jatunasandapan, this is in 2.12 Bhagavad Gita, isn't it? 2.12. So he says in there, Natva evam jatu nasam, natva nimijina dipa, nacheva na bhavasyami, sarvayam ataparam. Never was there a time when I did not exist, nor you, nor all these kings, nor in the future shall any of us cease to be. So even in this purport, Prabhupada goes into detail explaining how the living entity in this world is, he says, in the Vedas, in the Katha Upanishad as well, in the Setasvara Upanishad, it is said that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the maintainer of innumerable living entities in terms of their different situations according to their individual work and reactions of work. That Supreme Personality of Godhead is also by His planning portion alive in the hearts of every living entity. Only saintly persons who can see within and without the same Supreme Lord can actually attain to the perfect and eternal peace. So in Bhurijan Prabhu explains in the Surrender Unto Me on this point, he says, Krishna says, I exist in the past, I exist in the present, I exist in the future. And He never advocates his point that the living entity will merge with him. He says we are all individuals. Then in the proper Prabhupada exposes the Mayavad philosophy. He says the Mayavad theory that after liberation the individual soul separated by the covering of Maya or illusion will merge into an impersonal Brahman and lose its individual existence is not supported hearing by Lord Krishna, the supreme authority. Nor is a theory that we only think of individuality in the conditioned state supported herein. Krishna clearly says herein that in the future also the individuality of the Lord and others, as it is confirmed in the Upanishads, will continue eternally. This statement of Krishna is authority because Krishna cannot be subject to illusion. If individuality were not a fact, then Krishna would not have stressed it so much, even for the future. The Mayavadi may argue that the individuality spoken of by Krishna is not spiritual but material. Even accepting the argument that the individuality is material, then how can one distinguish Krishna's individuality? Krishna affirms individuality in the past, confirms individuality in the future also. So, so we can see how even in the creation of the material world, there's individuality, there's variety, and so a simple argument Srila Prabhupada gives is like he says like. You have a father, your father has a father going all the way back. So how can the Supreme Father not be a person? So these simple arguments are there to show how ultimately Krishna is an individual person. But the Mayavadi philosophy, they try and bring the Supreme to the living entity. They try and bring the living Supreme, the Supreme Lord into the position of a living entity. This is they try and deny him as a person. And unfortunately, this Mayavad philosophy is so is offensive against the Supreme Lord that someone who's exposed to that, it takes a long, long time to overcome that. It's not so easy. There was one, I think on Prabhupada DVD, there was one. Life member, Srila Prabhupada, he accommodated all the devotees and Srila Prabhupada. And, but the son, he used to go to this some Mayavad teacher used to go and listen to him. And he used to come back and give all his arguments to Prabhupada. And Prabhupada defeated all the arguments because the boy wasn't happy that the father was allowing the devotee to stay in his house. So later on this boy, as he grew up, it took him like 10-15 years to come to the line of understanding how Krishna consciousness is the goal. So we can see how so much conditioning is there, and just by understanding this Mayavad philosophy, it can take a long time to overcome. And Krishna also says in the Bhagavad Gita 12:5. He mentions Klesho dittas tesam avyakta shakta cetasam avyakta higati dukam deva api abhi For those whose minds are attached to the unmanifested impersonal feature of the Supreme, advancement is very troublesome. To make progress in that discipline is always difficult for those who are embodied. So Prabhupada gives some understanding here. He says something on this point. He says, he makes a difference between a devotee and an impersonalist. He says, in the Prabhupada first explains about the difference between bhakti yoga and jnana yoga. Bhakti yoga you cultivate your devotion and then Krishna responds to you in reciprocation wise. When the Jnana Yoga path, the Shishirada Gokulanda Ki Jai, Sitaram Lakshmana Gonitai Ki Jai. On the Jnana Yoga path, they go by cultivating knowledge and by their own strength, they try and work things out. It doesn't really help the emotions get purified, actually. It locks the emotions up. There was one famous philosopher, Kopenhagen. There was a famous story about him, how he was studying all day in his room, and his next-door neighbor, who's a lady, she was wondering what he was doing all day, so she peeped through the hole of the door, you know, the keyhole. She peeped through. And because he was hiding, he was trying to study all day in his own way. At some point, he couldn't handle his lady looking through the keyhole. And he got his lady and he threw her down the stairs. And then he got taken to court. And this lady has heavy injuries. So for the rest of the lady's life, he had to pay her. So because he was trying to do this jnana, line of jnana marg, study in his own way, the emotions were locked up. He couldn't allow the emotions to come out. And he got so frustrated that someone was trying to just find out who he was. That's what came out, that he did an injury on that lady. So that shows how this jnana marg in itself, it doesn't help the emotions get purified. Whereas in the bhakti line, because you're reciprocating with Krishna, you get the higher taste. Miserable conditions may come, you're not affected by that because you're getting Krishna's reciprocation. They asked one time Prabhupada asked the devotees, why have you surrendered to Krishna? So one devotee says, well, Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Sarva dharma praikya jama mekam sarma aham tam moksha yamasacha. Krishna says, oh, give up all varieties of religion and surrender to me. I'll partake in four simple reactions. Prabhupada didn't accept that. And another devotee said, you say Prabhupada, and Prabhupada didn't accept that. So the third devotee said, because we're getting Krishna's reciprocation. This is why we are surrendering. So Prabhupada accepted that because Prabhupada explained that in order to give up all your bad habits and live a pure life, you have to have a higher taste. How can you do it otherwise? It's not possible. So the higher taste is coming because of Krishna's reciprocation. So even you get many kind of spiritualists in India who do their own thing in terms of impersonalism and their own understanding. In Kumbh Mela, it's like that also, where you get many yogis coming for different purposes. In Prabhupada's time, when he did the Kumbh Mela, when he was there, one yogi was trying to go and see Prabhupada in his room, where he was staying. And in those days, the devotees were very strict. They wouldn't allow anyone just to come in. So somehow this yogi got in to see Prabhupada. And then when he came out, he told the devotees, actually out of this Kumbh Mela, so many millions of yogis are here. You don't realize how fortunate you devotees are of getting Srila Prabhupada as your leader. Because even yogis, they have their method of how they want to transcend the world, you know. In Surrender Unto Me, chapter 8, Bhurijan Prabhu expands on this point. He says how sometimes the yogis, they do their own level of austerities, understanding how they are not the body, but they don't fully understand who Krishna is at the same time. For those yogis who do that, the demigods in the different layers of the, like the fire, the earth, there's earth, water, fire, air, ether, like that, they take them to the different layers of the universe until they achieve the Brahman. But even in the Brahman, the living entity cannot stay eternally, because there's no reciprocation there. It's like, Srila Prabhupada gives an example, it's like you're sitting in a chair by yourself in a room. Although it's peaceful, but how long can you sit for? Or the other example is given, is like you're flying you're flying in the aeroplane, but sometimes you have to land. It's not like you can eternally fly. So, until the point that the living entity gets connection with Krishna, he cannot be fully happy. Because the living entity is Sachid Ananda. Krishna is Satchinana Vigraha. Eternal, knowledgeable and full of bliss. So in the Brahman, you just get the eternity and knowledge part. There's no reciprocation of the pleasure, eternity, knowledge, full of pleasure. There's no reciprocation of that. So then, so it's very the only way that these Maya bodies can come out of their conditioned nature is by special mercy. And there was an instance how one time Prabhupada in his time, how someone gave him these leaflets, and these leaflets were like from a Mayavadi. And Prabhupada, what he did, he got his leaflets and he gave prasadam on them to devotees. So in this way, he gave some spiritual benefit to this Mayavadi. Gave him some in time, maybe he'll become a devotee of Krishna. So even with Lord Chaitanya, when he sat in that place where they were washing their feet, he allowed Prakashananda Saraswati to help him up like that. So in this way, he gave him some spiritual piety. So so same thing as devotees, this is our situation also, that we cannot expect everyone to become self-realized overnight. It's only rare souls can do that. So we have to build up spiritual, help people build up their spiritual piety to the point when they can fully surrender to Krishna. Any comments or questions? Oh, do you want to pick on the mic, Maharaj?
You're talking about different governments. You know, the modern-day government, a modern-day way of ruling, and the old-fashioned, well, not the old-fashioned, but the Vedic way. And you're saying that modern government is due to Mayavad philosophy. I wonder if you could expand on that.
Modern government?
What?
Prabhupada said the whole world is Mayavadi in one way, because it's like, you know, like what happened in where is Atmanirbhar Maharaj, where he's preaching, where does he preach that play? Bali, yeah. So in Bali it happened, the same thing happened, how devotees, after Bhakti Swarupdhamma Maharaj, he left this world. One of his disciples took over. He wasn't following the ISKCON standards, initiating people. So the Hindu community, they went and just closed the temple down. You get this one leader, he's supporting Bhagavad Gita, he's trying to promote Bhagavad Gita, the other leader's not into it. Maybe the one who's promoting Bhagavad Gita, he's not really following the line properly in terms of what he should be following, what Krishna is saying. So there's a big now in Bali, no one can actually wear devotee dress anymore. They have to go undercover. This is due to this conditioned nature of this Mayavad philosophy, impersonalism. So we can see how it's very, very, very contaminating. It's explained that after Lord Chaitanya left this world, the reason why the Mayavad philosophy came in is because people were trying to not acknowledge sadhana bhakti, and they were trying to jump to ragunuga bhakti directly. So this Mayavad philosophy came in to divert the... Because one cannot jump to ragunuga bhakti directly. One has to go to sadhana bhakti. And otherwise it leads to sahajism. It makes everything cheap. So Lord Chaitanya, he covered the proper vision of the line of pure devotion and diverted people away until Bhaktivinoda Thakur came and he sort of made the line pure again. So we can see how people try and cut corners in terms of minimizing the teachings to get their own way. But you can't do that in spiritual life. One has to follow the line of the acharyas. So we can see in Bali that's what's happening, because they're trying to do the things their way. So much confusion is happening. But if they actually consulted what Prabhupada wanted in his writings and actually consulted the devotees, then things will work out nicely. Yeah. Any, is that okay, Maharaj? Any other questions, comments? Jai Antaraj Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita ki jai, Prabhupada ki jai.